right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Right? Summertime is here. You've got the labor force. A lot of us call that the children back at home. They're, you know, they're, I'm bored. I got nothing to do. So here's how it works. So when you hear that, I'm bored. I got nothing to do. Then you have them gather the junk in the house and get it ready for Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come get it. Although they can come get it themselves. They can go up the creaky ladder attic stair things with the springs on them. Go up there and get it. They can even get junk, like I said the other day. I keep talking about stuff inside the house. But they can get stuff outside the house. You got a swing set, you know, and you don't have a child that's below 40 years old. probably time to get rid of it in the backyard. He's got a story from Trey last year. He said, hey, we came out to clean out a storage shed in the backyard and cleaned out all the stuff. And then the guy said, well, while you're at it, just go ahead and take the whole shed. He did that too.
Wow.
They can do big stuff, small stuff, and they can get it done very quickly and efficiently. Nice thing is they give you an appointment time. When you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, they'll give you an appointment time, and then they'll say, show up, and they'll quote you a price. And if you're cool with that, that's the price you're willing to pay, then they get to work, get the job done, and get it done very quickly. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, let's check in with our buddy Jeff Poor from the Jeff Poor Radio Show on WVNN in Huntsville, and of course, author extraordinaire in Lanyap and Yellowhammer News and Breitbart. And no matter what the politicians tell you about all the time they spend crisscrossing the state of Alabama, all 67 counties, this is the man that's actually done it. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on. A lot to talk about here in state news and state federal news and straight up federal news. We'll start off, though, with something that you talked about this morning, that the one-time member of the Alabama House, then head of ALEA, and now I think he is the police chief in Selma, if I'm correct, Spencer, and person from South Mobile County, Spencer Collier, is talking about running for AL1.
Yeah, so he's retiring from police chief in Selma, and goes through the story from AL.com, Carol Robinson, who's a crime beat reporter up in Birmingham. Anyway, so he's retiring, talk about why, and then gets into the whole Bentley saga a little bit. But at the very end of this story, he hints at a run for Congress this year for that AL opening up an AL1.
Okay, so this would be, of course, there's already some names in the mix. Spencer Collier, I would argue, just like whatever people think about Spencer Collier, he'd got pretty good name recognition. I mean, I don't have a poll or a test in front of me, but that name has been bounced around enough that that I'm sure a lot of Alabamians say, yeah, I've heard of that name.
Yeah, but maybe it's not so good.
Well, there's that. But, I mean, that's like I said about, you know, Roy Moore. He topped that Mason-Dixon poll for name recognition. A lot of it was negative, but they know his name. He's not an unknown commodity.
That's true. And before it really went off the rails for him, I always thought he was like the up-and-comer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to be the, you
yep.
know,
yep.
the next big politician from that part of the county, in Mobile County. I thought he would be, you know, the maybe eventually he would be a member of Congress, but it as it turns out, it wasn't in the cards.
But maybe now. So, I mean, when he said that, he's just, what, exploring the idea, serious about the idea? I mean, I did not get to read the story this morning.
He says, quote from Carol Robinson, he did say, however, that he's considering another run for public office and will decide if he will enter the race for Alabama's first congressional district Republican primary. So he's running a Republican for the U.S. House of Representatives. The seat is being vacated by Congressman Bradley Byrd.
All right. That's interesting. Interesting other name. I wonder if, you know, that's going to be announced anytime soon, because we have a new announcement time now for the Senate race, the special Senate race that Secretary of State John Merrill, who told us, right, Jeff, that it was going to be by Memorial Day, he would say whether he was in or out. And now he's like, I didn't mean that. I meant sometime in June.
Yeah, my feeling on that is if he was not going to run, he would have announced already. I think he is going to run. I saw him up in Huntsville on Saturday. He's still saying, well, I will have an announcement forthcoming. Word on the street is that he's interviewing people to work for his campaign, talking to them at least. The signs are all pointing toward a Merrill run. Where does he fit in this race is anybody's guess, because we know he's a hardworking politician, mm-hmm. a guy that will be seen all over the state at any given moment. But I think the biggest question about him is, well, two questions. What lane is he going to run in? But B, can he raise money to run a statewide campaign? Will he be able to raise enough money to get people to pay, write him checks so he can, you know, he can run advertising in some of the big city markets?
Yeah, I think that does, and it does depend on what lane he's in. I want to circle back to that, but before we do, is there, help educate us, what would the benefit be? To, like, if you knew you were going to run, but you're dragging your feet and you're hemming and hawing right now, is there a benefit there? I mean, it seems like the earlier you would be in, the earlier you could officially fundraise, the better off you would be. Why delay?
I think it's a matter of hiring people or getting people that can fundraise for you. There's, you know, that's the delay. It's just getting ready. Not everybody can throw up a exploratory committee like a Jim Ziegler or something, you know. So that's kind of where I think they are with that. I think it's happening. He may have commitments. You don't necessarily need to start raising money, but he may have, somebody, I'll write you a $10,000 check if it's the day you run, and that might be, you know, well, it wouldn't be $10,000, but it'd be something like that. So that would be, you know, that's sort of the idea, I suspect.
All right, so then we look at this field and talk about the different lanes, and this is within, you know, within a primary. The lanes are very interesting to me, especially on the Republican side, because I think I understand them a little better. You've got, let's say the first man in, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne, now, you know, running for Senate. First one in is leading the pack in fundraising, at least the last stats I saw, has pretty decent name brand down here in Southwest Alabama, has decent name brand elsewhere in the state, but is working, like you pointed out, in areas like that he didn't do well in the gubernatorial cycle, that he's doing his job, spend the time there getting that name recognition. So there's Bradley Byrne. You have said before, you find he's the lane he's in is establishment, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. He's trying to expand over into that conservative lane, but right now, if he's the guy, you want the steady hand, and you're mm-hmm. a Chamber of Commerce type Republican, and he looks to be the guy to fit the bill.
Okay, next guy. So he's in that lane. Next guy who has great name brand recognition in the state of Alabama, that's Tommy Tuberville. Now, beyond that, I don't know there's much you can say about any kind of experience, although sometimes that people think that that's a benefit.
Let's talk about him for a minute. Let's talk about Tommy Tuberville. He came and spoke at a Republican club up here in Huntsville on Saturday. He's figured it out. He's going to be dangerous, I think, for the Republican field. He has figured out how to mix. This is like a dark art here of mixing locker room speech with red meat, conservative ideals. And it sounds like he does sound like a football coach, a very football coach type presentation. And I could see him going before a Kiwanis Club or a Rotary Club or the Chamber of Commerce or something. And that, you know, that whole shtick being very, very appealing to a lot of people. It doesn't work for Bradley Byrne. It won't work, definitely won't work for Arnold Mooney. All of a sudden, I think Tommy Tuberville's the guy to watch right now. They're both, you know, both Byrne and Tuberville have their vulnerabilities with the Access Hollywood thing and the carpetbagging thing. But if you get Tommy Tuberville in front of some people, he's going to do very well. This new brand he has, his new stump speech, I'm telling you, is going to sell throughout this state from one corner to the other.
You know, if you're just joining us, talking to Jeff Poore, and I would have... You talk about the carpetbagging angle for Tommy Tuberville, because his address is somewhere 30A, right, of Northwest Florida. And to me, when that first came out, I thought, all right, but this will be interesting to get people's reaction to this. I think some people, you know, will be upset by this. Maybe because they haven't really started delving into the Senate race, or maybe because it truly doesn't bother them. I don't think I've had the first person say that bothers them. That bothers me that it doesn't bother them, but it doesn't bother them.
Well, the thing about it is, you could go back and look at Tuberville, where he's been registered to vote over the last 10 years, 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. And it pretty much follows his coaching path. I think trying to make something out of that might be a little tough. It's going to be very, and we know where all this is coming from. It's going to be tough for them to make a case out of it, but that's not going to stop them. So right now, you don't necessarily think that you don't think that it matters. Maybe that's true, but they're going to try to make it matter. They're going to try. This is going to run into attack ads. It's going to become an issue, and I think because of that, it'll be talked about by us, the media, whether it matters or not. I would be surprised if in 6 months you and I are talking about the Tuberville controversy of being registered to vote in other states, and about a burn controversy of putting out the press release to turn that turned on Donald Trump right before the 2016 election. I think those are both the things they're going to try to beat each other with.
Jeff, with Trump running in 2016 on Drain the Swamp, and now Tuberville jumping in, seemingly the most pro-Trump candidate out there on the trail right now, do you think that's kind of a built-in advantage for him that he has no political experience? Normally that would be a disadvantage, but in this case, would it help him?
Yeah, I think he's a blank slate, so that could help him. He doesn't really have any votes he's taken that are controversial, right? He hasn't done anything to upset people, for his votes. So that certainly could help. But I think the other side of that is also a concern. He's never taken a vote or never held office but the same for Trump. People really like an outsider. And that might work to his advantage, but it'll certainly be used to challenge him. I think as well.
All right, let's talk about the other component in this. So lanes in this primary. What's the word, Roy Moore? What's the latest?
I think he'll probably get in. I wouldn't expect a 2017 type run. I would think it would be more like a 2006 run when he tried to run against Bob Riley for the Republican gubernatorial nomination, or a 2010 run when he tried to run. He finished fourth. Remember, mm-hmm. He finished fourth behind Tim James, behind Robert Bentley, and behind Bradley Byrne in that Republican primary. The choices are a little bit better this time around. The Mo Brooks thing was tough because he wasn't known statewide, and he kind of had that shot taken from Donald Trump at the very end there. And obviously, Luther Strange, I think he was a pretty bad candidate, and that's why Roy Moore was able to prevail in that contest.
All right, we'll talk more about this. But declared candidates right now, you've got, of course, Tommy Tuberville, Bradley Byrne, Arnold Mooney, and Stanley Adair. Other than that, everything's...
Yeah, and Stanley Adair, I ran into him a few times. I wouldn't say he's particularly impressive, but he's out there.
All right. And any word on the Democrat side? Has John Rogers found the funding to run against Doug Jones in the Democrat primary?
Not yet, but he says he is. He's still talking about it. And, the Democrat the caucus, the Joe Reed group, had their meeting last weekend. Kamala Harris was there, and he was talking it up about a run for against Doug Jones for the Democrat nod.
That'll make it interesting for sure. Coming right back, more with Jeff Poore right here on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 823 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. By the way, midday show today. We've been on the road all week long and sticking with it today. I've got to say this, with all deference to all these great places I go do shows, and my favorite, the aesthetics and the reason behind it, at Battleship Memorial Park and doing the show from on top the USS Alabama on the Fantail. It is, out of all the years of broadcast, my favorite place to do a show. Back out there today for midday Mobile, noon to 2.
Yeah, you can't beat the visuals when you see the van up there on top of the battleship, and then for you to actually be up there broadcasting.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Yeah, I used to rampage through that thing as a Cub Scout, and then as a teenager, and now I get to go back. I've worked out there for a summer, but now I get to go back as a older person. I was going to say adult, but older person, and get to do a show. It's good stuff. All right, continue our conversation with our buddy Jeff Poore, and talk about, much being made about President Trump in Iowa, Joe Biden in Iowa. They're trading jabs from across the state. But you said a Quinnipiac poll out this morning has some stats here that give Biden a lead?
Yeah, Biden, they did a head-to-head. You know how these polls do these hypothetical matchups, and we're way, way out. Biden with a 53-40 lead over Trump in a hypothetical matchup.
Is that Iowa or is that nationally?
Nationally.
And really, the interesting, because you know like the Democrats are going to prevent. I mean, and I know that's hypothetical and that's way out, but it seems like the rest of the Democrat Party wouldn't. But you know, they're not coalescing around that idea. They're going to tear Biden apart before it gets any higher.
You want to hear what the same polling outfit had on May 28, 2015?
I do. I love this kind of stuff.
Clinton 50, Trump 32.
There you go. Okay.
So, read into that one what you will, but I think the media is going bonkers over this poll. You know, since they're both in Iowa, oh my gosh, Biden's got the momentum. I don't trust this poll this far out. I don't think it. And here's the thing, guys. The national polls don't matter. The only way they matter is maybe for fundraising. You need to show them to a donor. You need to be up in a certain place on the debate stage and at the kids' table. Beyond that, it does not matter. What matters is where you are in Iowa and where you are in New Hampshire. That is why some of these candidates running at 5% nationally, but they're running at 10% in Iowa, are legitimate threats to nomination.
But at least, Jeff, with the election so far away, they're going to wait to start slinging mud at each other, right? Joe and the president? Are they going to go after? They've already gone after each other.
You don't say.
It's basically like it's already the general.
Here's the thing. That's the interesting point that you raised, Dalton, because all the other Democratic candidates have taken aim at Joe Biden. Biden's not really even giving them the time of day right now. He's not talking about any of his opponents on the Democratic side. He's almost running as if he's already got the nomination.
And it sounds like that's not a foregone conclusion. I mean, I see what I'm seeing right now for the Democrats is it happens. Republicans do it inside their primary. It's not just the Democrats, but they are going to tear him apart to the point that if there are some doubters out there for Biden, that by the time it gets to voting next year, that I don't know that he'll be the candidate he is now.
Yeah, and that's going to but he's taken these barbs and these shots before, right? I mean, he's managed to become Vice President of the United States, but I think Joe Biden's biggest hurdle is Joe Biden right now. I do think he does have a big lead. The one thing I would say, he is playing sort of a prevent defense, and we know how sometimes that can wind up when you go all prevent. But right now, the polls seem to show him from the day he announced and throughout that he has a significant lead over everyone else.
Now let's move on to the next step here for the president, and that is, this. I want to say the drumbeat of impeachment, but they use different nomenclature for it. Where do the Democrats stand now in the House, and are they going to do something?
Nancy Pelosi's in a tough, tough spot here. So there's a few things going on politically on the Democratic side. A, look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. How did she get elected? She beat Joe Crowley. He was a longtime Democrat, chairman of the so-called Progressive Caucus, but she outlefted him. So across town in New York City, just to the south there in Manhattan, of AOC's district is Jerry Nadler's district, and I think he fears the same sort of outcome, the same sort of threat from the left if he doesn't go through with this impeachment. So you have a few districts all throughout the country where the left is, they're so far to the left, they're demanding impeachment. On the other hand, you also have a lot of districts, a lot of swing districts that went for Trump in 2016, but buyer's remorse went for a Democrat in 2018, right? And how is that voting public going to view impeachment? Is it going to look like what happened in the 90s with Bill Clinton and that Republican-controlled Congress, right? So they don't want impeachment. They want to do what they promised their constituents. So that's another problem in the Democratic Party. So you have this sort of coalition of different political situations, and I think Nancy Pelosi is trying to have it both ways right now. She's trying to play up impeachment but not really have impeachment, and there's a political reason for that.
You can't have your impeachment and eat it too, right? Or something. I mean,
that's kind of it. But I do think that she'll have to give in at some point and let them vote on it.
All right, Jeff Poor. If people want to reach out to you, listen to you, read you. How do they do all this?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
See what he's done? He has a clearinghouse for all that. And we're still waiting. I have good feelings about the nappies coming out. I have really good feelings, sir. Hopefully you retain me on the staff after you have this win this year in the nappies.
Let's not count our chickens before they hatch.
I'm trying. I'm just stay positive. Thanks, Jeff. 8:30. We'll check in with Dr. Bill. Also get the news. Coming back, take your calls at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you today, buddy?
Hey, doing fantastic. And, you know, it's summertime. Temperature's getting up there. Time to head to the beach with the family and the kids. What kind of SUVs do you have on the lot at McConnell Automotive for us to check out?
Man, Dalton, we have a lot of really neat ones. I think the one that everybody really knows a lot about is the Yukon and the Denali. And I think Dalton, one of the things that McConnell, we like to brag about a little bit, we don't want to like to brag too much, but it's just really about our selection, and the next thing is our price. So I think we might have over 45 Yukons in stock, and most dealerships might have a dozen. So one of the cool things is when you come to our dealership or shop our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, you see lots of choices. And Dalton, from the biggest one that we've got, with those big 10% discounts, we've actually got the smallest GMC SUV right now with 17% off. So another cool thing is just you don't have to negotiate right now if you want to get these big discounts. And that GMC Terrain is really, really cool. That's almost $8,000 off a vehicle. Sometimes Dalton, these things stick a price for $28,000 or $29,000, and people don't know they can get a GMC that cheap. And all our Buick SUVs, the little Encore, the midsize Envision, and the big third row seat Buick Enclave, those are 17% off. And golly, man, we have seven SUVs we can sell people to head to the beach in, and all of them fit a cooler in them, buddy, and they're all good looking and have just incredible safety features and great gas mileage. And we're proud of our SUVs, buddy. We hope people come and pick one up and go on a beautiful summer vacation in it.
Yeah, that's for sure. As always, some great deals at McConnell Automotive. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
Man, y'all have a great day too, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 8:40, and head to the phone lines and the text line at 343-0106. And let's go to Robert in Fowl River. Hey, man.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Sean?
I'm good. What's up? You want to talk? It says Snapper. You got Snapper on the brain?
Yeah, in a kind of a roundabout way. Couple of issues that I'm having problems with, and I'm sure I'm in a lot of people in Fowl River are having a problem with all the traffic on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, because there's so much traffic going to Dolphin Island to do the fishing and the sports fishing, and I love the sports fish too, but it's created a real serious issue with traffic control there on Fowl River Road and Dolphin Island Parkway there at Greer's.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting out a petition to ask people to sign, or perhaps to get the state a little more involved in the issue. So a couple of years ago, we had an accident there that turned a school bus over and killed a lady. If that had been a, one of those semi trucks with all that fuel on it there, it could have been a national televised, incident there where a lot of people could have gotten killed. Also, I have request. I'd like the Fishermen's Association to look into maybe seeing if they could do something to help the senior citizens get some kind of special pass to fish during the week, because there's so much fishing pressure going on out there, along with the traffic and all the boats that are parked a half, like three quarters of a mile and a half down the road from all the launches, that the senior citizens really don't stand a chance to go out there. All the old veterans and all quit fishing now because of it. And so I know I'm one of them. But anyway, that's just my thoughts, and I would like to see if somebody else might want to call and see what their thoughts are on that, and I appreciate you for your time.
Thanks for the call. I will say this, a couple things. Number one, on the days during the week, it's just not going to happen right now because it's part of a formula. The number of days that they allocate is part of a formula to reach the tonnage and the quota set by the feds. Even though the state manages the season, the state figures out how to cut the pie up, but the feds tell you how big the pie that you get to cut up is. So those days are dictated on how many days they project it'll take to reach that tonnage. And generally, you're talking about that intersection there, Bailey's Corner. I start slowing down when I got the boat in tow or not have boat in tow well before I get there because there's always, not always, but a lot of times there's shenanigans to go on right there in driving. And you know, the other issue, talking about parking, we have talked about this a lot. You'll see this again Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because it looks like forecast is all right. Friday, not as good. Saturday, Sunday, better. You got all the parking for folks going to Billy Goat Hole and Little Billy Goat Hole. And there's just the problem is some of the state folks have said, Marine Resources said they could acquire other places to put in launching ramps, but the problem is the parking. You start looking at, in a saltwater scenario, the most valuable real estate around is where you're talking about parking vehicles, and that's tough to acquire. They can acquire the area to put the back down ramps in, but where do you park the vehicles? I would say for seniors trying to make that long walk, and listen, I got my buddy Mike Ward, who is not a senior, but Mike had a knee replacement, and he was, you know, for that first year after having the knee replacement, having to try to make that hike back from the vehicle. That's tough. I would say that, and I've said this to my nephews before, I said, y'all, you know, we're down there for the summer, I said, y'all get cracking here, you could make some real money by, you know, either shuttling people's vehicles or shuttling the people. And I think Dolphin Island, we're talking about this yesterday at the Cart Doctor, and I know that Trish or Stephen One, they were talking about, they had sold during our event yesterday, sold a person a cart for Dolphin Island. They're talking about the legalities there, and I got to go check what's completely, you know, what makes it street legal for Dolphin Island. If you can run those electric vehicles on Dolphin Island, I see news stories and I think business opportunities. And if I'm a person that has the time and has that electric vehicle and it's legal to operate there, I guarantee you right now, I'd pay you $5 to drive me back from my truck parking on, you know, on a Saturday morning. And I think some people can make some money right there.
Yeah, like a bit of a boat ramp valet kind of service going on there.
We'll have it make an app. So when the people are coming in after they put their snapper in the Snap app, the next app you open up is like Uber for getting you to your truck or back. We'll call it Goober or something like that. Fish lift. There it is. Fish lift. And you could come in, you hit the app, and they're waiting for you with the golf cart right there. When you step off at the dock with the boat tied up, they run you to your vehicle and bring you back. There's some things like that that I think would be good. And Robert, maybe they can be done for all of us, especially those folks that hike of dang near a mile sometimes back is a little too much for them to get back to the boat. And it also slows the whole process down, because if somebody is by themselves or has somebody else in the crew that's inexperienced and can't drive the boat and go sit out there and wait for them, then that boat's tied up, tying up space while you're waiting for that person to come walking back from where they parked their truck.
So the way snapper season works now, it's weekends only, right? Except for Independence Day. That would be, is that right?
Yeah.
That you can fish on? So
right, we get Friday, Saturday, Sundays, and then on the 4th is on Thursday. Independence on a Thursday, so you get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So as a guy who departs from Dolphin Island often when you're going out fishing, I don't know if you want to give any tips, but if somebody's trying to plan, maybe they're only going out a couple times or they go out every weekend, if they're, what's the trick to getting down to Dolphin Island with as few people possible? What's the easiest way to leave from Dolphin Island? Do you need to get there at like a 4 a.m. on a Saturday?
Yeah, so you got to get there. And it's like anything, there's creep. So it used to be if you left really early, you wouldn't have as big a problem. It's still true to some degree, but people started leaving
even earlier.
So there's a couple ways to do it. Either you leave very early like that, or you wait for, and it's always a roll of the dice, when the first wave of folks is going to come back in. Usually that's around lunchtime, maybe 11 o'clock or lunchtime. It's starting to get real hot. At that point, you can often find some space to park. You can wait and come down for like the, you know, second shift,
right,
and get in there then. So that's one of the best ways to do it. Listen, and there's a bunch of launches. If you don't mind running the bay, You know, there's, you can launch places like Fowl River, like he's talking about. You could launch there at Jemison's. You can launch at Bilabatry. You can, that ramp there at Bilabatry is fantastic, and there's parking. But you got to make a little more of a, the reason why there's so many vehicles parked is the east end of Dolphin Island is the dang closest place to be able to put the boat in the water and be heading offshore. You spend way more time, you know, you spend less time in the boat than you would coming from other places. But if it's not real rough, I'm a guy that, I tell you, I'd rather be in a boat than a car. So I don't know. I got a heads up here. The event coming up from our friend Supermom said they're selling tickets for Boston Butts for Andrew Tart. Okay, this is a fundraising event for a great kid from a great family. They said, we need money no later than Friday the 21st. You can stop by the Sims Walmart this Saturday from 10 to 1. The fire department will be out front selling tickets. And this is, so this Saturday, 10 to 1, it's Boston Bus, which is perfect. You can get those and have them, you know, to, it's nice to have somebody go ahead and do the smoking of the Boston Butt, take it and feed the family. But this is a benefit for Andrew Tart. We'll put more information up online when we get it and give you a link to this as well. All right. And this story about Andrew Tart, he's a 14-year-old that was injured and paralyzed in an accident at the community in the Sims community recently. He's been moved to the Shepherd Center in Atlanta. Sims Fire Department is currently raising money selling Boston Butts to be delivered or picked up June 27th and 28th, so the end of the month. You can buy your ticket for the Boston Butt at Southern Fitness, Hickory Pit 2, Circle T Designs, Tillman's Barbershop, and once again at Walmart coming up Saturday. Buy those tickets. All right. 8:47, coming right back. We'll catch Dr. Bill's forecast next. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings. Last segment here, Mike Gallagher Show on the way in just a second. I do want to give you a heads up. You got the Mystic Stripers 17th Annual Fish and Rodeo coming up this weekend. This is going to be Saturday at a Dolphin Island Marina, 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And, you know, I've joked with the Stripers in the past. I don't know if it's a fantastic party that breaks out into a fantastic fishing tournament or a fantastic fishing tournament that breaks out into a fantastic party. Either way, it is a great time. And it's so much to win, so many prizes to win in this. If you get you want more information, MysticStriperSociety.com has the details on their 17th annual fishing rodeo. And I'll make it a little easier for you to fish it this weekend because caller number 6 right now at 343-0106, 343-0106. We got tickets for you and a fish and Padna. So if you're caller number 6, we've got, those are a $25 donation, each ticket $25 value, so $50 value. Caller number 6 at 343-0106. You'll stop by, you need to stop by before Friday, pick up these tickets here at our studios, and Philip will tell you where that is if you've not been before. But yeah, a pair of tickets for this weekend, 17th Annual Mystic Stripers Society Fish and Rodeo. Caller number 6 at 343-0106. The tickets are yours, so good luck. And that's the nice thing is it's on Father's Day Eve, which I don't know if that applies. You know, like Mother's Day pretty much encompasses the weekend, right? There, you can do Mother's Day things on Saturday and Sunday. I don't know if Father's Day gets enough traction to be able to move into Saturday, but I argue that it does. And nice thing, too, if you think about this, you could do this tournament and take your dad and go fishing on a nice Father's Day. Go out, go fishing for the day, and we got your ticket. So good luck. All right, before we wrap up here, a couple things here from the text line. Somebody was asking on more information on those Boston Butts. And here's what, I'm going to go back through what I have. This is coming from the text line here from Supermom. This is a benefit for Andrew Tart, 14-year-old that was injured and paralyzed in an accident in the Sims community recently. He's been moved to the Shepherd Center in Atlanta. Sims Fire Department is currently raising money selling Boston Butts to be delivered or picked up on June 27th and 28th. You can buy your ticket for a Boston Butt at Southern Fitness, Hickory Pit 2, Circle T Designs, and Tillman's Barbershop. And now they've added to this, this Saturday at the Sims and Walmart and Sims from 10 to 1. The fire department's going to be out front selling tickets as well. So stop by and get that ticket, and then you'll be able to, at the end of the month, pick up that Boston Butt and treat the family to some good good cooking. So great idea, great event, and it looks like there's a lot of people getting around this, helping out Andrew Tart. So y'all, if you can get out there Saturday, do it. If not, any of those locations I just listed have these Boston Butt certificates.
Yeah, and one of those questions was, how much do the butts cost? And it looks like $35, but it's for a great cause, and you get a tasty Boston butt.
Yes. I like that. I like doing that when we're going down for Independence Day or whatever, showing up with a couple of those, because that's just less time that I'm doing cooking and more time I can be goofing off.
Yep.
So, yeah. It's a good deal. And in this case, it's actually benefiting a local child. So that's great.
Congrats to Joel picking up those two tickets for the Mystic Stripers Fishing Rodeo this weekend. So Joel will be having a good time out on the water on this Father's Day weekend.
All right. Good stuff. Hey, we're taking the midday show on the road again today and tomorrow. By the way, we'll be at Gulf Coast Tools tomorrow. So come see us out there, Baldwin County. We're coming back your way. Today, we're just barely outside of Baldwin County, right there on the USS Alabama. On the Fantail, we'll do the show from noon to 1 for Midday Mobile. Then the Scuttlebutt Boys take over. Of course, our show hosted by veterans for veterans that you usually hear in the evenings, and you will as well hear a replay tonight at 8 o'clock, but they're doing their show from 1 to 2 live right after a one-hour Midday Mobile. And on my list of things, let me refresh this. Let me refresh my email, see if the guy got back. It looks like... Looks like we're probably good for this. There's a race coming up in September, and I've been geeking on this since I saw it yesterday. I don't know if I can be off work that long. I don't think I can physically complete it, but I want to try it. It's called the GA650.
Okay,
and that's the Great Alabama 650.
All right, is this like a NASCAR race, or what are we talking about here?
It is a canoe, kayak, or stand-up paddleboard race that goes... You've heard me talk about Alabama's scenic waterway and the trail before, the Blue Way that goes throughout Alabama. Look at our state seal. We are blessed with rivers everywhere. This is a canoe race that starts right on the Alabama-Georgia line, up in some whitewater country there on the east side of Lookout Mountain and all that, and makes its way the whole way to Fort Morgan in September. It is a... Listen to this. A 10-day, 650-river-mile race.
Wow. 650.
$20,000 in prizes, or cash prizes, for winning this thing.
Goodness.
So hopefully we'll be talking about that with Greg Wingo from Alabama Scenic River today on the Midday Show. But, yeah, the Great Alabama 650 is coming up in September.
I want to see who's taking the paddleboard 650 miles.
That person would impress me. I'm trying to find the narrowest of paddled craft that will roll fast. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on the Midday Show today. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Y'all have a great one.